Desperation Church, are we good this morning? Well, my name is Bree, and I'm the first of four of the young ones that will be speaking to you today. I'm actually the youngest that we have on staff, and I've been here for about 3 years on staff. And so can I just tell you, it's good to be home. I primarily serve at our Coleman campus, and so I'm just so honored to be with you guys today. I was just talking to some of the people that are going to be sharing an incredible message with you. I'm just kind of telling them, like, I love that we get called the young ones or the young guns or whatever that is. And it's not because I love being young. I would stay young forever if I could. But it's because that means that we have a pastor who believes in the next generation. For me to be up here, and though I feel so unqualified, he believes in me. The staff believes in me. And I truly believe that's why that I'm here. And so I just want to honor Pastor Andy for that. Can we just give it up for Pastor Andy? He does an incredible job leading our staff and leading the church. And so as I was preparing for today, I was just asking the Lord what it was I was going to speak about, and the Lord told me something very specific. He said, I don't want you to stand up there and speak to the church. He said, I want you to speak with the church. And what he means by that is he wants me to speak to you about something that I'm going through. So I'm with this in you. This is what the Lord is speaking to me in this moment, in this season of life. And that is the importance of knowing the voice of God. Knowing the voice of God. And so as I was preparing for this, I was asking the Lord some questions, and he gave me this. He said, you know, there are three voices that you hear. We hear three voices. We all hear the voice of God. I can tell you about times that the Lord was pursuing me before I was ever a believer. The Lord desires to have that relationship with you. We all hear the voice of God. But there's a second voice. That's the voice of our flesh. Our flesh. And then there's a third voice, and that's the enemy. We all hear the enemy. And so I was like, okay, Lord, there are three voices that we are hearing. And then the Lord gave me the characteristics of the three voices. The voice of God is life. It is truth. The Lord has the best for you. The voice of the flesh, its characteristic is self. The flesh produces self. The flesh always looks out for self. And then the enemy's voice. The enemy's voice is destruction. He wants to divide and he wants to disunify. Pastor Andy spoke in the welcome about some of the marriages that the enemy's attacking in here. And that's true. The enemy wants to divide and disunify. And people are coming up on stage. Pastor Travis is blindfolded, so if he falls, we can laugh. But you're hearing three voices. And so my next question was, Lord, if I'm hearing three voices, how do I discern these voices? Pastor Travis is blindfolded. He feels helpless right now. When you're hearing three voices at once, how helpless do you feel? There have been times that I've been sitting there in the Lord's presence, and I'm hearing the Lord's voice, and I know that it's truth, but then this other voice comes in, and even knowing the truth, it's still hard hearing this voice. And so I feel so helpless. I want you to watch this illustration that these guys are about to do for you. And then we're going to talk about it. Travis, I only want you to listen to the voice that will lead you to truth.
Travis, take three steps forward. Or back. Maybe you should go backwards.
No, don't listen to her. Take a step left.
Or right.
Take a step left.
Right.
Left. And come forward. Come toward my voice.
Or
come
back.
Toward my voice. Take a step left.
Right.
Take a step left.
Forward.
Thank you, guys. I don't want you to miss what just happened. Travis was walking towards Michelle, and if you don't know, Michelle is Travis's wife. And so when I said only follow the voice that's going to lead you to truth, Travis knew that Michelle would lead him to the truth because he knew her voice. And so Travis is walking, doing what Michelle says, and then all of a sudden this other voice came in. And he heard that voice, and you saw him as he was walking forward. He heard that voice, and he kind of stepped back because that voice counteracted what the voice of truth was telling him to do. And it took him off guard. But Travis continued on towards Michelle because Michelle is Travis's wife and she loves him and he loves her. And so he knew that that was the voice of truth. Can I tell you that we have good news today? And that good news is that Travis did not always know Michelle's voice. There was a time, in fact, that Travis didn't even know who Michelle was. But then he met Michelle, and he started asking Michelle, "Michelle, what's your favorite color? Michelle, what are your hobbies? Michelle, who's your favorite superhero? Michelle, what sports do you like to watch?" And he began to get to know Michelle. And as he began to get to know Michelle, he began to fall in love with Michelle. And then we see the marriage that they have today. Travis knew her voice. And that's good news for us, because some of us today just need to start right there. We just need to start asking the Lord the simple questions. If you ask the Lord what his favorite color is, I have no idea what he will say. He created the rainbow. But if you ask the Lord his favorite superhero, I am confident he would say Batman. Try it. He'll say Batman. But he knew the voice of Michelle. Do you know the voice of God? I look in the Bible at Adam and Eve in Genesis, the beginning of creation. The Lord spoke and said, "You can eat of any fruit in the garden, but do not eat the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil." That was clear. Do not eat. He even said the specific tree. They weren't left wondering what tree they weren't supposed to eat from. He said, "Do not eat from this tree." That's the voice of God. But then the enemy came in and the serpent came in. Did the Lord really say not to eat from this tree? The enemy was wanting the man to fall. And then the flesh was saying, "If I eat from this tree, I can be like God. I will have the knowledge of God." The flesh was producing self. The enemy was producing destruction. And the Lord was trying to produce life. But we know that they ate the fruit, and that's why we have sin in the world today. But the Lord wants you to learn his voice. He wants you to distinguish between the three voices. I want to ask you this question. Are you devoted to God only to the point that obedience serves your own interest? Are you devoted to God only to the point that your obedience serves your own interest? Which means you may be obedient, you may be walking in what you believe the Lord has called you to, but when you get to this certain place and the Lord tells you to go this way and you don't want to go this way, you're going to keep walking this way because it's serving your own interest, it's serving your flesh. And can I tell you this? There are often times that I believe the enemy works with your flesh against the voice of God. The enemy is an ancient foe, and he knows what he's doing. He has been here for a long time, and over the years, he has learned if he can disguise his voice to sound like your flesh, it's two against one. The Lord is saying this, your flesh is saying this, and the enemy is going to pair up over here because the enemy is no match for God. And he's going to pair up over here with your flesh, and these two are going to be working against this one, and it's going to make it all the harder to discern the truth. But if you learn the voice of God, you know the truth. The Bible says that all scripture is God-breathed. All scripture is God-breathed. So some of you just need to start right there. Some of you just need to start reading the Word of God, learning the characteristics of God. And I want to tell you this, the Lord will never, ever speak contrary to his Word. What the Bible says is the truth. Some of you just need to start right there. And I want to read you this one final verse. The Bible says in Luke 10:19, "Behold, I have given you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you." He has given us the power to tread on serpents. So what I desire to see is a church that learns the voice of God, a church that unifies together, knowing that the Lord has called us this way, and we're going to walk this way no matter what the cost. Can you imagine what this world would have been like if Adam and Eve would have known, and they did know, but if they would have known deep down that the Lord had their best interest? The Lord said, "Do not eat the fruit." And Satan, you are coming against me and telling me that it's okay to eat the fruit. And my flesh, you are telling me that I will be like God. But I know the voice of God, and I know that I have the power to tread on you, and I'm going to walk in what the Lord said, because that's going to lead me to the truth, and that's going to lead me into life. I desire to see a church that does that. I desire to see my generation that knows what the Lord's called us to. And though the enemy says, "Walk right, walk right, walk right," I know the Lord called me left and I'm going left. I may not know where I'm going, but I know that I'm following the Lord and this is where he's called me to go. That's what I desire to see. Do you know the voice of God? And when you learn the voice of God, because it's a learning process, the further and further you go in your relationship with the Lord, the more you fall in love with Him. And the more you begin to realize His truth and that He will never harm you. He will never forsake you. You learn the voice of God so that the other two voices will become quieter and quieter and quieter. And they may not really be getting quieter, but the Lord's voice is getting louder and louder, so it seems that the other two voices are quieter. The Lord has a plan for you, and He desires relationship with you. He wants you to know His voice so that He can communicate with you, so that you can walk in obedience to what He tells you, and so that we can go and save a world for the name of Jesus. That's my desire for you today, to learn the voice of God, to learn with me, because I'm learning it right now in this very moment. And let's go and just change the world. Let's just spread the name of Jesus together. That's all that I have for you today. It has been an honor. Can y'all just give it up for Pastor Caleb Jett? He's going to be coming out next. Thank you, guys.
And can we just give it up for Bree one more time? Come on. Golly. Incredible. I'm back there behind the curtain, like beating my chest, like, I want to hear your voice, Jesus. Come on. Well, hey, my name is Caleb Jett. I am the worship pastor here at Desperation Church. I have the privilege to serve on this staff with, honestly, some just incredible people. And the honor, honestly, just to stand on this stage today in front of you guys, but with some of my, like, best friends in the entire world who I believe are world changers, incredible people. Also, I know you probably heard this several times last week and today already, but I just want to honor our senior pastor, Andy Heiss. He is absolutely, come on, give it up for him. Hey, this is the truth. This is speaking from a pastor's kid. My dad's a pastor, and I believe across America, honestly, across the world, I don't think that there are very many pastors who will let even just a few people in their church come and stand on a stage and preach a message, much less their entire staff come up and preach through an entire series. And so let's give it up one more time for Pastor Andy. Come on. Yes. Well, hey, man, I don't want to waste any more time. I don't want to get into this. Hopefully today, I just want to share with you something, honestly, to help you in your own day-to-day, just walk with Jesus, maybe help, like, break down some barriers in your own walk with God, and just help you just continue to walk in the fullness in which God has called you into. So, hey, how many people in here are glad that the drought is finally done? We got some rain, bless God, and all God's people said, amen, come on. Hey, anybody else, have y'all experienced some of the tornadoes that we had kind of in the midweek last week? Anybody? Anybody? I'm the only one. Okay. All right. That is awesome. Well, that's okay. Well, hey, about 3 a.m. last Tuesday morning, I got a phone call from a lady on staff, and she said, Caleb, I'll answer the phone, and I'm wiping the eye crusties out of my eyes, you know, and how many people in here got a weather Nazi in your family or a friend? Somebody's calling you and said, Caleb, right now you got about 15 minutes to get up out of your bed to find some shelter right now. And so I'm, okay, all right, you know, okay, Molly, I mean, not to name any names, but I'm about to get out of my bed. I'm going to get up. So I get out of my bed. I'm tired. I'm walking across my house, and I go wake up my roommate, and I'm like, bro, we got to get up. We got about 15 minutes. There's a storm that's about to come through, a tornado that's about to sit down right on our house. We got to get up, and we got to go, and we can't stay in this house, because if anybody in here is like me and has an open floor plan house, you got windows everywhere. Come on. And if you stay in there and a natural disaster ever comes through, you know you're going to die in about 15 seconds, much less 15 minutes. So we got up, and I was like, man, I talked to Pastor Travis. He's going to let us come over and hang out at his house. Thank the Lord. We got to hang out in one of the most beautiful, elegant basements in all of Coleman County that I've ever been in my life. So thank you, Pastor Travis. But anyway, so we get in the car. We're on our way there. He sends me his address. And so I'm going. It's 6th Avenue Northeast. I know exactly where it's at. I've been to his house several times. So I get there, and I turn right down the 6th Avenue. I'm going, and I drive down the road. And I'm driving around looking for his house. And I get to the end of the road, and I'm like, man, where is this? I don't see his house. So I turn back around. I go back down the road. I'm going. I get to the end, and I don't see his house again. And finally, I call him. I'm like, dude, Travis, man, you got to help me find your house. I'm on your road, 6th Avenue. He's, yeah, I'm there. That's where I live. And so I turn back around. I keep going out. He's telling me, and I do not see it. And so I was like, man, I'll try to figure it out by myself. He tries to drop me a pin on his phone, a location where his house is, and I cannot find it. And I got to this place, honestly, where I feel like I was just wandering around. I don't know if any of you are like me in this too, that sometimes when I'm in a car and I get kind of lost in direction, there's this like anxiety attack that comes over me, and I'm freaking out. I'm sitting here just kind of shaking. As add also on top of that, a tornado that is on my way. I just got a phone call 10 minutes ago that there's a tornado that's going to sit down in 15 minutes. So I've got a couple minutes to find some shelter, and I don't know where I am at. I've now pulled off of 6th Avenue, and so I really don't know where I'm at. So I'm driving around. And I think some of us, if we were to be honest, I know for me, sometimes in just everyday life, we can kind of come to that moment in our life. We know what we're doing. We're going through our normal day and honestly doing all kinds of stuff, busy. But we come to the end of our day. Maybe for some of us, we feel like, man, kind of like I was the other night, we feel kind of like we're wandering around. Maybe like, if you're to be honest with you, maybe you get to the end of the day and you're thinking, man, did I really actually even do anything today? Does anybody ever feel like that? You know, I think maybe for some of us, maybe even we get more honest in our own walk with Jesus, maybe we're doing all these things that we know really well, man, that God's called us to, that are absolutely great things. But if we were to be honest, maybe we come to this place and we think, man, Caleb, I kind of feel like you felt the other night when you were in your car, man, a storm maybe come in your life, and you maybe come to this moment where you're tired and you're thinking, oh, God, I'm doing everything I know what to do. God, I'm serving you with everything that I've got, God. But honestly, Lord, I'm at this place where I feel like I'm going nowhere. I really don't know how to explain it. And I want to draw near to you, but I don't know what else to do. Can I say today that it's a totally okay place to be at? And can I say that I have been there many, many times, but I can tell you this today, that God did not intend for you to stay there in that place. I believe today that I'm gonna walk through a few things, but I believe if you make a few just simple shifts in your life in the right direction, that you will begin to walk in the destiny in which God's called you to walk in. I believe that you'll begin to live a life that matters for the kingdom of God, a life of purpose. Does anybody here wanna live a life that matters? Come on. Well, I think I wanna share with you just kind of a illustration that I kind of view the kind of the Christian walk in. I kind of look at the Christian walk as kind of like a bicycle that's built for two people. Obviously, we were meant to sit in the back, Jesus up in the front, up in the command seat. And the back seat actually has all the things the front seat's got. It's got little handlebars. It's got a little banana seat for our cushion, you know. And then we got little pedals. And actually, the back seat has the ability to actually move the bike. It can make it move. But the biggest difference between the back seat and the front seat is that the front seat has the ability to steer the bike. It can make the bike go left. It can make the bike go right. It can make it go forward. But I think some of us today, maybe we're sitting back here. Maybe just like you're saying, you're feeling like you're wandering around. You feel like, I don't really know where I'm going or what I'm doing. I'm trying to do everything I know, man. You're sitting on that seat and you're like, man, I'm doing all I can do. But maybe you're sitting there and you're looking forward and you're so concerned about what direction you're going. You're so concerned about how you're going to get there. Maybe for some of you, I know some moms in the house. Maybe you're sitting there and you're like, I know I got to turn about 450 yards up here on the left. And so, hey, Jesus. Jeez, I didn't mean to yell. But Jesus, hey, I just want you to know that I know you know, but I know there's a turn right up here about 450 yards. Don't forget it. You turn right up. It's okay. I know you know. So you at the end of that, you're sitting here in this back seat and you're so concerned about that turn up there. You're so concerned about where you're going to go that you're missing the journey that you're going on with God in the midst of that. You know, and I think even more than the journey, that you're missing the person that you're going on the journey with. Maybe for some of us today, that we're over here, man, we're doing all these things that, don't get me wrong, please hear me out. These are great things. Continue to do these things. Maybe you're here and you're going to church every Sunday, every Wednesday. Man, you're serving on a team every other week or every week, or maybe even leading a team. Or maybe you're so focused on the things of God that you're missing God himself. Now I want to take a step further. Maybe you're over here. Maybe you're spending time with God. Maybe you're reading your word every day, checking off that box. But maybe let's move from that. Let's make a small shift and come over here on this side and say, God, I don't want to just read my word, but I want you to read me, God. Lord, I want to come before you today. And Jesus, I just want you to speak to me. God, come speak to me today. Does anybody have that feeling? Is this connected with anybody today? Come on, I want to share with you something, a scripture. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Listen to me here. But I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Pastor Andy just talked about it a little bit ago, that there's a war going on. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says that we not battle against flesh and blood, but against this present darkness that's going on all around us. So now that we're aware of that, today, hear me out in this moment. If you are in this place over here and you feel like you're wandering around, that you feel like, man, God, if I had to be honest with you, I feel like I'm going nowhere. I'm trying all I can. I'm doing all these things. I would say you're in the right place, because I believe there's just a few small, simple shifts. And today, maybe even tomorrow, the practical application to this would be, man, just wake up a few minutes early. about 15 minutes early before everybody else gets up. Go find that quiet place in your house. Maybe come before the Lord. Maybe, honestly, maybe get down on your knees and just come before the Lord, humble. God, I'm just here today in Jesus. I want to come back to that pure and sincere devotion to you, God. God, I want it to be all about you. I don't want to just read my word, but God, I do want you to read me. And Jesus, I just want to come to the place where it is all about you. Lord, I see these people raising their hands. I see them worshiping. I see these crazy people up on the stage jumping around. And Lord, there's something in me that wants to be like that. And not just an outward expression, but a real devotion to you, Jesus. God, I just want to tell you today, God, I want to serve you again with all of my life. God, I lay my life down as a living sacrifice, Jesus. God, I love you. I love you, Lord. You know, I think, what's funny is the other night when I was in my truck, I was driving to Pastor Andy's house, and I got to that place, like I was saying, I was wandering around, and honestly, I got to a place where I stopped my car, and I looked at my roommate, and I was like, man, I don't know what else to do. Here's Travis's address here. Put it in Apple Maps. See if we can get to his house. Within 15 seconds, I pulled up into Travis's driveway. Now, I didn't go look for my coordinates, where I was. I didn't go look for Travis's coordinates, where he was. And honestly, I didn't even go look for any map to how to get there. All I did was take the right address and I put it into the right app. And it led me straight there. The reality of the Christian life today, if you were there in that wandering place, the reality is that everything has been done already for you. All you have to do is just simply and purely just come before the Lord and say, God, I just want to lay my life down today, God, to you. Lord Jesus, and I'm trying all these things, God, but I don't want to just do those things out of just me just trying to do them. But God, I want to do them because I love to do them. Or I want to come to your word because I want to, Jesus. I believe today, if you were sitting in that seat and you were feeling like this, I believe that if you just come back and just center yourself to God, just come back to that intimacy, that pure and just simple devotion to Jesus, I believe that you will begin to walk in the life to which God has destined you to walk in, a life that matters for the kingdom of God, a life of purpose, a life of purpose. Thank you guys so much. I hope this helped you guys as you just continue to walk with Jesus. But we have another person coming out next. Her name is Callie Tidwell. So go ahead, let's just give it up for Callie. Come on.
Can we just give it up one more time for Pastor Caleb? I get to follow that each week. It's great. No, my name is Callie Tidwell. I am our creative and production manager. I do some graphic design, some social media, just different things. It's kind of funny whenever people ask me what I do now and I say, I'm in the creative department at our church. They kind of look at me and they're like, I can see that. And I'm like, thank you. Is that, I don't really know how to take that. Like, is the glasses an oversized sweater, isn't it? Yeah. But apparently it suits me, which is great because I absolutely love what I get to do. I do want to give honor where honor is due. And if it wasn't for Pastor Andy and really just the entire staff believing in this next generation and believing in me, I would not be where I am today. So can we really quick just give it up for Pastor Andy? And I want to thank you guys for letting us just come and just share our hearts with you. Today, I'm going to be talking about suffering and kind of just a different perspective or different outlook on suffering that I believe that God designed for us just to help us get through. But I'm going to be reading from 1 Peter 4, verses 12 through 14. It says, "Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad. For these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. If you are insulted because you bear the name of Christ, you will be blessed for the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you." Later on in verse 19, it says, "So if you are suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what is right and trust your lives to God who created you, for he will never fail you." So suffering, this can look different for all of us. It can be a physical suffering. It can be a sickness that you're having to go through or you're having to watch someone else go through. It can be a financial struggle, this debt that you somehow one day woke up and found yourself in. It can be a mental or an emotional struggle that you've had to go through or you've had to watch someone else go through. But if you are pursuing the Lord, if you are living a life worthy of your calling, if you are chasing after God with all that you have, then we can expect the suffering. It says, "Don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through." We can expect these trials. In James 1, 2 through 4, it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance." Consider it pure joy. It really doesn't make sense to associate joy and suffering, but a lot of times in the Bible, that's what it does. In our worldly, our fleshly mindset, joy and suffering are more contradictions than they are one and the same. And so we can get into this mindset of, I'm suffering, and so I must be being punished for something. What I did 3 years ago, what I did 10 years ago, what I did yesterday, this is God punishing me for what I did. And while, don't get me wrong, we do have consequences for our actions. In verse 15 of 1 Peter, it says, "If you suffer, however, it must not be for murder, stealing, making trouble, or prying into other people's affairs." And the list could go on. And so there is a difference between suffering for the name of Christ and making bad decisions. But also on the flip side of that, we need to know that the enemy is out to steal, kill, and destroy. If you are living that life worthy of your calling, if you are pursuing the Lord and chasing after him, then the enemy sees that. The devil sees the difference that you are making for the kingdom of God. He sees the people's lives that are being changed because you're boldly proclaiming the name of Christ, and he hates that. He wants to destroy that drive within you. And I say all this because there's not always a prerequisite to the pain. There's not always a reason that you're suffering in the way you're suffering. There's not always a reason for the things that you're having to go through. There's a quote that I love that just changed my perspective on suffering, changed my outlook on going through hard times. It says, "What if God allowed you to be afflicted with the very disease that he has called you to heal?" What if God allowed you to be afflicted with the very disease that he has called you to heal? You may feel like your pain or your suffering or the hard times that you're having to go through, that they're unjust, that it's not fair. It's that thought process of, why does bad things happen to good people? It just does not make sense. Can I be honest? It may never make sense. And that is why God has not called us to understanding. God has simply called us into obedience. And so let's change our focus. Let's change our focus from the suffering, from why we're going through what we're going through, from the hard times that we're having to face. Let's change that focus and change it to God. Change it to who he is and what he has already done for us on that cross, because that is where you find the joy in the suffering. That is where you begin to rejoice amidst the circumstances that this fallen world has given you. It's when we focus on who he is, that's where we find strength. That's where we can allow our darkest and weakest moments to show his glory and his strength. So that's where we can take that strength and turn around and encourage those going through the same things. We can take what we've gone through and see people who are going through that same loss of a job, that same loss of a child or a loved one, the same marriage issues, the same financial issues, the same identity issues, whatever it is, the same addiction, abuse, whatever that is, there's a purpose to the pain, and that purpose can be used for the glory of God and for other people. And so let's see God in the suffering. Let's see God in all of our situations, because even when we are falling apart, the Lord is our solid rock, and in that we can rejoice. Even when we see no way out of a situation, we know that the Lord is already working things out for our good, and in that we can rejoice. Even when we are brokenhearted and hurting, the Lord is close to us and comforting us, and in that we can rejoice. Even when you don't have anyone who seems to believe in you, and sometimes including yourself, the Lord just smiles because he knows the plans he has for you, and they are plans to prosper you. And in that, we can be confident and we can rejoice. Even when we feel like we may never have true joy again, we know that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he renews those who are crushed in spirit. And in that, we can certainly rejoice. So let's see God in the suffering. Let's see God in the miracles. Let's see God in the breakthroughs. Let's see him in all of our situations. So what is it that you feel like is tearing your very life and your faith apart, but could actually be God building the very foundation of your testimony and the purpose that he has created you for? What is it that keeps coming back up? You've forgiven that person. You've received freedom from it. You've walked out of that addiction, but somehow those thoughts still seem to come back up. You want to forgive and forget, but that's not what the Lord has called you to. So if it keeps coming back up, maybe that's God telling you he doesn't want you to forget it. He wants you to use it. In 2 Corinthians 1:4, it says, "He comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort that God has given us." This was God's design, for us to comfort each other, for us to use our past pain to empathize with other people. Because how can we give comfort and know what to say when we've never gone through that ourselves? But because you've gone through certain things, because you've had certain circumstances happen to you, because you've had to walk through certain things, you can turn around to those people who are going through those things right now and say, "I know where you've been. I know the feelings you're having. I've cried those very same tears. I've felt what you were feeling. I know how that feels. And this is how God got me through. This is where I found joy amidst the suffering. This is how I found strength in the Lord. This is how God allowed me to use my weakness to show his strength." We use it to comfort others. So how do we practically do this? How do we use our suffering and our circumstances to use it for the glory of God and for other people? Well, first, in the suffering, we have to lean on God. We have to know that he is our strength. We have to be vulnerable with people. We have to be open and share our stories and lean on other people in prayer and worship. We find strength in the Lord. And then we can use that strength to choose. Each day we choose, just like sanctification, our walk with Christ is not this one-time decision. It is a daily choice. Choosing to use our past for the glory of God and for other people, that is going to be a daily choice. And so each day we choose not to focus on the suffering, but to focus on the bigger picture. And that's the glory of God. We choose each day to focus and see that God is truly who he says he is. We surrender that control and choose God. Each day, we choose to use our pain, our suffering, our past, our testimony. Each day, we choose to use that for the glory of God and for other people. Each day, we choose to allow our past to pave a better way for a better future for those coming up behind us. Each day, we choose. So let's make that decision today. Let's choose that no matter what we're going through, what we've been through, what we might have to go through, that we're going to use that for the glory of God and for other people. Let's choose today to use pain to glorify God, to use what we're having to go through, to see him in everything, and to use that for the glory of God and for other people. Let's choose today. Thank you guys again for letting me come and talk to you. I don't want to waste any more time. We do have Pastor Travis Key coming up. So help me welcome up Pastor Travis.
Come on, everybody, give it up for Callie real quick. In fact, let's go ahead and give it up for all of our speakers who spoke today. Yeah, come on. Come on, man. Well, I'm super pumped to be here in my hometown, Coleman, and man, I can't ever approach the stage without giving it some honor. It is an honor to be on staff, work with the student ministry here at DC, and then of course to just be involved with you people. Thank you so much for allowing us to do this, and of course Pastor Andy and this vision here, man, it is phenomenal, and I'm hoping I can just be a compliment to that. But enough about that, because I've got 9 minutes and 27 seconds to give you guys a word that I've gotten from the Lord. Go ahead and look at someone next to you and just say, "I think that you are a spectacular human." Come on, let them know. And if someone said all of that verbatim to you, say, "Thank you." Awesome. Awesome. Hey, if you got your Bibles, I want you to go to Colossians 3, 23. We got one verse this morning, one verse. Colossians 3, 23, it says, "Whatever you do." Come on, everybody say, "Whatever." Come on, say it in your best sassy girl voice. "Whatever." There we go. "Whatever you do, do it with all of your heart as doing it for the Lord and not for men." Whatever you do, do it with all of your heart as doing it for the Lord and not for men. I'm going to ask you a question right here, and this might be for most of the ladies in the room, but how many of you have ever just woken up and you're like, "I'm going to cry today"? Anyone in here? Come on, raise your hand. You better raise your hand in church. You better not lie, all right? Don't you lie in church. Revelation, we know how that ends, okay? But man, I remember some guys were like, "I don't ever cry. Like, wait till Nick Saban retires," right? Yeah. The Auburn people are like, "Yeah, because I'll stop crying," right? I had one of these days where I woke up, it was a couple months ago, and I was just like, I just knew it. I woke up and I was like, I'm gonna cry today. And it wasn't like, you know, it's not like one of those like cries where like you're in church and you're just feeling the Spirit and you're just like, oh my goodness, Lord's Spirit's so good. And I just get this little tear like rolling down my cheek. No, contrary to that, absolutely. It is the cry where like no one can be within a 6-foot ordinance of you because you suck all of the oxygen around that area and they'll suffocate and die. I'm talking about the cry where it's like, you know what I'm talking about? Like, you ladies, you know what I'm talking about. Like, y'all, I want to call an ambulance every time my wife cries that way. I'm like, stop. I don't know what to do. I, like, rub your hair or run. Like, I don't know what to do, right? So I was having one of those days, man. I woke up, and I just knew, like, today, at some point, I'm going to release the Kraken. I don't know. Like, it's going to happen. And so, like, I remember I woke up. Tried to have some time with Jesus, and that was like, all right, I guess. I was just like, Lord, I'm bitter. I don't even want to talk to you right now. I'm going to cry at some point, you know, just get it over with, you know? And so I remember I go to my office, our office, like in the back door, my office is like 2 doors to the left. So it's like a solid 8 feet from the back door. And I remember I go into our office and I go through and I just go like immediately left, straight in there. I slam the door and I'm like, no one is gonna come into my office today because I know if someone just like stares at me wrong, it's over. Like much less someone come in there and be like, hey, you're ugly. Like, I don't know, I'd have cried. But I'm sitting there in my office and seriously, I was actually, I had all this heaviness, this pressure, kind of this spiritual weight that was sitting on me. And I know some of you are like, you're a youth pastor. All you do is play video games and basketball. That's only 90% of the time. The other 10%, I'm working really hard, all right? And so I'm sitting in there, man. I got this spiritual weight kind of sitting heavy on me. And seriously, it was an incredible time for us and our student team. We were about to embark on this adventure called Riot Tour, where we were basically taking our monthly riot service that we do on the first Monday of every month, and we were gonna do it in a local school or at one of our campuses. So completely new adventure. It was taking tons of faith inside of me because I remember I'm sitting there at my desk and I'm like, man, what if this thing doesn't work? What if it flops? What if no one shows up? Like, what if people don't laugh at my jokes? And then, like, what if my wife finds me unattractive? And then what if this really is the end of the world? And it's like Interstellar and we gotta live off corn. Then we gotta depend on Matthew McConaughey, a middle-aged man is gonna go and save the world. It's really like this time difference, but I don't know, all right? And I'm sitting there, completely normal thoughts of a secure young man, right? And I'm sitting there like, I really was experiencing like all this pressure, all this heaviness. And I remember sitting there on my desk. I took my fist, I kind of like slammed it down just like this. I remember saying, God, I'm giving this the best that I got. And I remember the voice of the Lord speaking to me clearly in that moment saying, that's all I've ever asked for. I said, God, I'm giving this the best I got. And he said, that's all I've ever asked for. So if you're taking notes and you want to write this down, I just want you to write this down. The best you've got, everybody say the best you got. Is all God asked for. The best you've got is all God asked for. What if, DC, what if we woke up every single day and just said, God, I can't speak for my yesterday. I can't speak for tomorrow. I can't speak about my past sins. I can't speak about what I'm gonna do, but I can speak about right now. And God, in this moment, here's what I'm committing to do. I'm committing to giving you my best. The best I got is all that God asked for. Man, you don't have to have popularity to give your best. You don't have to have fame to give your best. You don't have to have money to give your best. You don't have to have social status to give your best. You don't have to have all these things that this religious world talks about you have to make yourself better. God just wants your best. Man, what if we zoned in, changed our mindset just a little bit and said, God, today, in this moment, you are gonna get my best. When I wake up tomorrow, I will hit my knees and I will thank you. I will thank you for everything that you've done and I will commit on this moment and this day, God, you will get my best. Why? Because you can be broken and give your best. You can be burnt out and give your best. All of us in here, we're going through a lot of different things. We have a lot of different circumstances and situations and family issues and a lot of things going on. Maybe you're in a great time of your life. Maybe you're experiencing some hard times. The one thing that we all have in here is our best. What if we said, today, I will give my best. When I walk in on Sunday morning, my hands won't be in my pocket. They will be lifted high to my God, to my Messiah, to my Jesus, because in this moment, I may not have a lot going for me, but in this moment, I got my best, and that's what God requires. What if we committed to doing that, church? You can say amen a little bit louder than that. What if we committed to saying, God, you will get my best. You know, I've heard churches and people say all the time that the best is yet to come, the best is yet to come. No, the best is here right now. The best is sitting in the seat that you're sitting in. Ephesians 2:10 says that you're God's masterpiece. That means you are his best. The best isn't yet to come. The best is sitting right here, right now, because God is such a big God, he can take the best thing and make it even better. That's what he does. That's what he likes to do. What if we committed to a church? Man, just this service right here, Coleman Campus, the walls couldn't contain the amount of people that'd be wanting to come in this room, because these people right here in this service are experiencing the best life possible. And here's the cool part about it. Right now, in this moment, you are a part of and sitting in this vehicle known as the local church. And I want you to know something. You're sitting in something special. I know we've came up here and we've given honor and everything, and that's cool. But you're sitting in a church that has a vision and has a mission. The strategic and how we want to do things and how we want to reach people. We have 4 points of passion, 4 points of vision here at Desperation Church. You probably heard about it. Each and every single week, a guy comes up here with a microphone at the end and pretty much walks you through those 4 different things. First off, the presence of God. The best thing that you will ever experience is God's presence. Why? Because when you lose a loved one, the only thing you care about is if God is in the room. Why? Because when you're going through a hard moment, the only thing you really care about is if God is near you. Why? Because when the kids are acting crazy, you're wondering if God is anywhere close and he's hearing your prayer. And that's why we focus so hard on the presence of God. We want people coming in each and every single Sunday and every Wednesday night, man, we are praying for the presence of God to show up. Why? Because one moment in God's presence can change everything in somebody's life. The person you've been praying for, it's time to get them in God's presence. The best thing you'll ever experience. It's God's presence. Number 2, small groups. The only way you can ever experience the best life possible is for you to put yourself around the best people possible, right? That's why we have small groups. It's not so we can just show up and we can do just like the little church click thing. No, not that at all. We want you to experience your best life. Why? Because you are the best work, best creation of God. Let's put you around the other masterpieces of God and let's really get you moving and going in your life, right? Number 3, missions, the mission of the local church. God has one plan, the best plan, his church for the salvation and redemption of all humanity. In Matthew chapter 16, he looked at Peter and said that the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. He didn't say parachurch organization. He didn't say youth ministry. He said my church. That's why we zone in, we focus in, and we serve as much as we stinking can. I love that our pastor, if he had it up to him, if it was up to him, he'd do a CERT project each and every single day. We would do nothing else. We'd just be out in the community doing everything that we can. I love that. Why? Because we're a church. We got a mission. Matthew chapter 28, God leaves us with a great co-mission to go into Judea, into Samaria, into the ends of the earth, into Coleman, into Arab, into Jasper, into North Jefferson County, into Gunnersville. A mission. And last, the DC Connect team, 2 greatest days of your life, the day you're born and the day you discover why. So when you discover why, you're walking in your purpose, and that's what we want. Because when you really get plugged in, zoned in to the local church, God loves you so much, he wants to get you into your calling in life. We want to provide an avenue for that. What it looks like for us, DC Connect team. If you want to know more about it, next week is Connect class. Put those two together. Connect those two together right after this service. Stick around. We would love to tell you a lot more about that team, how you can get moving and going in your purpose. It's why we do things like Desperation College, right? It's not so that we can just teach you a little bit more about the Bible. No, it's because heaven and hell is a real thing and we got people that we got to reach and God wants to use you to do it. Why? Because you're his best work, his best creation, right? That's why we do those things. The best isn't yet to come. The best is occupying the chair that you're sitting in right now. Because God's such a big God, he can take the best thing and make it even better. And why do I say the best you got is all God asked for? It's because the best God had is what he gave. It was his son, Jesus. He looked down from heaven and said, it's not good for them to be alone any longer. I will send my son, the best, to earth, the worst, and say, I will make you my best. I will redeem you. I will deliver you. And I will make you new. He lived 30 years here on this earth. Began his ministry for 3 years. He changed the world. He set up this culture like I told you about in Matthew chapter 16. He set up this system, this organization called the church that we're still walking out. We're still living in. The best thing that he could do. And those 3 years, he healed blind people. Blind people could see again. Healed sick people. Loved on people. Taught people what true love was. Most importantly, he went to the cross for us. It was there that he was beaten, bloodied, stabbed, betrayed, abandoned by friends and some of his family. On that cross, he took on our sin, past, present, and future, because he so loved the world. John 3:16. It didn't say, for God loved the world that he gave his only son. It said, for God so loved the world, meaning that God didn't just want to let you know, that he loved you. He wanted to put a little bit more eternal emphasis on how much he loved you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that you would never have to perish but have eternal life. On that cross he died, but praise God, he rose again 3 days later so that you could have life and life more abundant. So that you could experience your best life, so that you could live out this calling and this mission that God has put inside your spirit and inside your soul. Church, it's time for us to quit living just the good life. It's time for us to live the best life. The best you've got is all God asked for, because the best God had is what he gave. Let's pray. God, we love you. Lord, thank you for your church. God, thank you just in this moment right now for Desperation Church and how you're speaking and what you're doing. God, how you're moving. God, thank you for every speaker. God, thank you for the anointing that you have placed on their life. Father, in this moment, this time right now, Father, I pray, God, that you would, just like what Bree was talking about, Father, your voice would be so loud, Father, inside our spirits, Father, that we connect with you, Jesus. Real quick, with nobody looking around, nobody moving around, this is the most important part of this service. If you're sitting in here today, you're saying, Travis, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus. I'm ready to give my best to Jesus. And we say, God is either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. That's Jesus for you. If you want to make him Lord of your life today, in a second, I'm going to count to three. And on three, I want you to slip your hand up for me. One, God loves you. He is pursuing you. He wants to see the best out in your life. Two, he's calling you. He's calling you home. He's calling you home. He's calling you home. Three, if that's you, just slip your hand up so I can see it. Amen. I see one. Amen. Amen. Two. Come on. Amen. 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 I see. Okay. Amen. Amen. Hey, if that was you, then just raise your hand. Man, we just want to tell you thank you so much for your boldness and your courage in Jesus. In fact, we want to celebrate, don't we, Desperation Church? Can we celebrate with those who raise their hand? Amen. If you were one of those courageous enough to raise your hand and say, I'm giving my life and my heart over to Jesus. Man, we just say it like this. There's no 12 steps to get to God. He's a talker. He wants to talk. And so you can talk with him in this moment and can go something like this. God, I love you. And Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done. Lord, I repent of who I am, Father, but I take up your cross. I take up who you are, Father. And I lay everything that I am at your feet. And I choose you today, Jesus. If you're one of the ones that just raised your hand and committed your life to Jesus Christ, there's a connection card right there in your seat. If you could, in this moment right here, just pull that connection card out and fill it out for us. Give us your name and your info right there. But then mark that I've given my life to Jesus. And this is super important. Once you get done with that card, please, as the service ends, you're gonna go through these double doors. You're gonna go into a room. You'll see a sign that says guest services. You're gonna go in there. You're gonna see a red table. You're gonna see some smiling faces and some people sitting right there. I want you to take that card to them and they're gonna celebrate with you. They're gonna tell you how you can start moving and growing with Jesus. They're gonna give you a devotional, tell you about baptism, tell you about small groups, how you can really get plugged in, moving and growing with Jesus, and you can experience your best life. In church today, if you're sitting in here and you're saying, man, God is just speaking to me. I feel his spirit. Maybe it's what one of the four speakers got up here and said today. Maybe you want to experience the best for your life. And if that's you and you just want some prayer, some boldness, and some courage, would you lift your hand up so I can see it? Come on, all over the room. Thank you, Jesus, for this church. God, thank you that you've given us a mission and a plan to live it out. God, we pray right now in the name of Jesus, God, that we would go forth into this world, God, living out our best life possible, God, because you gave up your son to come to this earth, Jesus. And God, for that, we will give you all the honor and all the glory and all the praise in your name. Amen.